Microsoft Surface brings people together, making it possible to collaborate as never before. Technology that's innovative and incredibly useful at the same time. An experience that's not just changing the landscape, but creating an entirely new one. This experience comes to life in the Samsung SUR40 for Microsoft Surface. With Pixel Sense, Microsoft Surface sees and responds to touch and objects, enabling unprecedented interaction. Surface is a powerful solution for your business. It draws people in, informs, educates, and builds connections. People love Surface because it's easy to use, natural, intuitive, and it's the perfect size for people to interact and share information in completely new ways. The thin, elegant profile of the Samsung SUR40 and its stunning 40-inch high-definition screen opens the door to new opportunities. Microsoft Surface simplifies interaction in a natural way, breaking down barriers and bringing people together to connect, learn, and decide using everyday objects. It seamlessly merges the physical and digital worlds, and the possibilities are limitless. Microsoft Surface.
Hello, how are you feeling today? Are you excited? I was talking to some of you before the presentation, and they were wanting to touch the Surface, and I told them, no, don't touch it, don't touch it. But I feel the passion. I feel the energy in the room, and I am very excited about it. I am very excited to present to you today. My name is Luis Cabrera. I am the platform program manager in the Microsoft Surface team. That means that I am responsible for the Microsoft Surface development platform. I was listening to a TED presentation the other day, and there was this guy who said, great leaders first explain why, then they explain how, and then they explain what. So I am going to try to follow that pattern. First, we're going to talk about why. Why does Microsoft Surface or the Microsoft Surface team exist? Why are you here? Why is this room full and there is so much passion about it? Then we're going to talk a little bit about how we solve the problems that we see. We're going to talk about the Microsoft Surface hardware. And then we're going to talk a little bit about the details, the what's. How do you develop a Microsoft Surface application using the new Microsoft Surface SDK? I don't want you to lose focus, though. The why part of the presentation is very short. It's just the next few slides, but it's the most important. So let me start with a story. Oops, wrong way. So there we go. So first, I was listening to a presentation by Bill Buxton, and he's one of the first guys that actually worked in Microsoft Surface. You could say that he's one of the original inventors of Microsoft Surface. And he was talking about what natural user interfaces are. And he asked, okay, so what is natural? What does it mean? Are we talking about innate abilities? Are those things that you can do when you are born? And he had a very good point. He said, you know, take a baby. And some of you may be parents. If not, I am pretty sure that you have had a chance to hold a baby. And most babies can do about the same things. They can cry if there is some problem. They can go to the bathroom, but they don't actually go to the bathroom. They can, blubber. If you get lucky, they know how to eat and suck. And that's pretty much it. And so it's really not about innate abilities. There is really nothing natural about it. He flipped the problem, and he said, you know, it's really about skills. It's really about understanding your customer and adapting to the skills of the customer. And that made complete sense to me. About 2 years ago, when I became part of the Microsoft Surface team, I brought my son on a Saturday to the company, and we had a Microsoft Surface unit, a version 1 unit. And so I went there, and I deliberately didn't tell him anything. I just said, oh, look, that's what I'm going to work on. And he was 4 years old at the time. He's about 7 now. He's the one in the picture there. And he went to it, and he knew how to use it. And I marveled at that. I said, okay, so there is something great about it. There is something magical. And what happened between the time he was born and when he was 4 years old? He knew that he could drag objects with his hands. He knew that he could paint with his fingers. He knew that he could interact directly with objects. And that's all he needed to use the applications that were in that Surface unit at the time. That's what made it natural to him. So when we think of natural user interfaces, we really shouldn't be thinking in terms of technology. Sometimes we fall into that trap. We think, oh, natural user interfaces are about touch, or natural user interfaces are about speech recognition, or they're about having a depth camera like Kinect and being able to do gestures. It's not about that. Creating natural user interfaces has to do more with understanding the end user. And once you understand the end user and the skill set that end user has, it's about creating a system that adapts to the user instead of creating a system that the user has to learn. Okay? So that's key. And it's not easy. It takes effort. You have to understand your customer. You have to understand the end user. So natural user interfaces are also an opportunity. We are in a super important moment in history because we're in the middle of a revolution. We're changing the way that we're using computers from graphical user interfaces to what we call now natural user interfaces. And that doesn't happen very often. This is a huge revolution. The last time it happened was when we moved from command line interfaces to graphical user interfaces. And at the time, if you remember, there were some companies that took that step of faith, and they said, you know, I'm going to invest all my resources and go into the graphical user interface world, and they created operating systems, and they created word processors and things like that use the graphical user interface. And guess what? They were the ones to become leaders. There were others that said, oh, I'm not so sure. My command line interface word processor is selling pretty well. And I'm going to take like 2 or 3 years to make the leap. They're no longer here today. I imagine that you are here because you see that. I imagine that you are here because you want to become part of that natural user interface revolution and define it. And it's still in its infancy. You can still define what a natural user interface really is. So in 2008, the Microsoft Surface team presented at the Professional Developers Conference a new type of machine, unlike anything that was out there. This was a social computer. It was a computer that brought people together, where many people could be using it at the same time. This computer used vision technologies so that it could understand what was on top of the surface. That allowed people to interact with the objects directly instead of having to use a mouse or something like that to interact indirectly. This computer allowed multiple touches to be recognized at the same time. And because it was vision-based, it recognized the shape of objects on top of the surface. And that would be given to the application developers, and then they could do something about that information. A unique machine. And that's what it looked like. I think it's a beautiful piece of equipment. I really do. It's very sturdy. You know, you can sit on top of it. And you laugh because there are some challenges with it as well. Mainly two. One is the price. When we released it, the developer unit was $15,000. And that was in the US. In other places like Australia, it was more expensive than that. And the other thing is the form factor. It was kind of bulky. If you needed to move it, you had to have two people and lift it. And it weighs more than I do, and that's not a good thing. So, but it was a beautiful piece of equipment, nonetheless. A unique piece of equipment. A mind changer. So, a little bit after we released, Windows 7 came out, and with that came support for multi-touch. And with support for multi-touch, a lot of people started investing in different types of technologies. Resistive, capacitive, IR bezel. And we had this challenge. We wanted to reduce the cost of the Microsoft Surface and create a more flexible form factor. So we were like, okay, so what technology do we use? But we had to really think about what our vision was. The vision of the Microsoft Surface team is to bring people together by making surfaces come to life through natural experiences. We are not in the business of making tables. We have a much grander vision. It's to bring people together. You know, when you have a surface and there is somebody on the other side of the world and you can touch them and see them in their eye and you can communicate like that, then we have accomplished our vision. But until then, these are just steps in the right direction. So the technology did not exist for us to be true to our vision. We wanted to, you know, put an object on top of the surface and have the surface react to it. So we invented our own technology. We called it PixelSense. In short, PixelSense is about being able to not only reflect light in an LCD panel, but be able to sense light through the same pixels that are reflecting light. Completely new technology. And then you have to process that information in a way that can be used by application developers. So that's what PixelSense is about. And because it's a completely different technology, it allowed us to do things that we couldn't do before. We worked together with Samsung to design and create Samsung SUR40 for Microsoft Surface. And instead of showing you a picture, I would like to go and show you a prototype of the machine. And that's the reason I was telling some of you, please don't touch it. It's because it's not the end product. This is not a production build, as we call it in the hardware world. It's actually an early prototype. And you know, when my wife invites people for dinner, she wants to make sure everything is perfect. She bakes the cake the day before, and then she makes it again. That's not the case here. I am being as open and transparent as possible because I think it's worth it. Because I want to inspire you, and I want you to realize the magic of this hardware. So if anything goes wrong with my demos, please don't blame it on me. It's only a prototype. And as I show you Samsung SUR40 for Microsoft Surface, I want you to imagine that you are just walking through a hotel just like this one, maybe with your family, and then you see this display. But it's different from other displays. It's unique because it reacts to your touch. And we found that this metaphor of water worked really well at attracting people. You know, kids would touch it, and then they would see their hand, and they would say, oh, it's not wet, but it reacts to it, you know? And so we kind of kept to that metaphor. We tweaked it a little bit. And as you're playing with it, you will notice that there is this icon in the middle of the surface. And as you touch it, it brings up what we call the application launcher. So it looks kind of different from what it looked like in version 1. And it has these really cool handles, and you can drag them, and you can change the orientation of the launcher. I like those smiles. And then you can see the applications on the Surface unit. And let me just take one as an example. I'll take this Bing for Microsoft Surface application. And I'll show you how different people can be interacting with the unit at the same time. So let's say that I want to find out where Mandalay Bay is in a map. If I can spell Mandalay Bay. And then it will bring this beautiful map that you can interact with, and you can see exactly where it is in the world. So I can see that it's in Nevada. But you know what? Maybe my friend that is next to me wants to do that. While I perform a different task, maybe we want to find out what Mandalay Bay looks like. And I can look at some images of Mandalay Bay. And the interesting thing is that he can be interacting with that at the same time as I am interacting with the images. It's a multi-user system. And we can both not only be interacting with the unit at the same time, but we can have an experience. You know, I can say, oh, look at this picture of Mandalay Bay. That's really what it looks like. And I can pass that to him. And it becomes a social experience. That's what Microsoft Surface is all about. All right. So let's get back to my slides. And the unit is ready for a commercial environment. We are dropping a ball that weighs a little more than a pound on top of one of these panels. And you can see that it doesn't shatter. So it can take some abuse from people. You know, maybe you're drinking on top of it and you drop your bottle. You don't want the glass to shatter, right? This machine has the largest piece of Gorilla Glass on a product today. It's true. And we're proud of that. So as we showed in the video earlier today, now you can use the Surface unit both horizontally, like I am showing you here, or vertically as well. And it's the same unit. All you have to do is unscrew the legs, and in the back of the unit, it has VESA mounts, or it has a standard VESA mount, so you can go to your favorite electronic store, just buy one of those VESA mounts, and it works. And you can put Surface unit vertically, and the experience will be a little different. So we are really, really, really excited about being able to use the same form factor and be able to create more flexible experiences. For those interested in the technical details, we have a 2.9 gigahertz processor. We have a DirectX 11 graphics card with 1 gig of memory on it. By standard, it comes with 4 gigs of RAM, but you can order it with 8 gigs. And the same with the hard drive. It comes by standard with 320 gigs, but you can upgrade it to a bigger size. We invested a lot in software as well. And our main focus was to make sure that we had a more flexible platform. We wanted you to be able to take the same Surface development kit and create not only applications for Microsoft Surface hardware, but also for Windows Touch-enabled PCs. So that means that the same binary can work on both your Touch Smart or your Dell Studio One or whatever Touch-enabled PC you have and Microsoft Surface. Now, we're going to talk a little bit later about hardware capabilities. You have to adapt the experience based on the capabilities of the hardware, and we enable you to do that as well. In order to talk a little bit more about software, I would like you to understand a little bit of the architecture. At the very bottom, we have this beautiful hardware, and at the very top, we have the applications that you will be writing. We use Windows 7, and what that means to you as a developer is that all the APIs that you're familiar with, for networking or whatever, SQL, whatever works with Windows 7 will work with Microsoft Surface. Now, we don't want you to feel that you're using a Windows 7 machine. We want you to have this unique immersive experience that takes touch as a first-class citizen. So we created this set of Windows integration and a custom shell, and we provide APIs for your application to interact with that shell, with the shell. For instance, you can register it so that it shows in the launcher. We also have our vision system, which is provided by the Pixel Sense technology. And we have report that we have to report that to your applications through through some way. So we have two sets of APIs. We have what we call our core APIs. These are platform agnostic APIs. And we also invested in WPF APIs. These are Windows Presentation Foundation specific APIs. The core APIs allow you to get the raw image of the system, and I hope that you can see this. This monitor is showing exactly what the surface unit is, and that's what we mean by raw image. And you will see that. I hope you can see my hands there. For instance, I'm going to take a. Oh, sorry. Actually, you cannot see it through the. You'll have to see the little monitor for now. Sorry. So I have a crisp dollar bill here, and I'm going to put it down. And even though you cannot read the characters on the dollar bill, you can tell that George is there, and that's a dollar, right? We also have this pattern of dots that we call tags, and I'm going to put some down. So we can see, okay, so there are these dots, and we know what they mean. That's what we refer to as tags. All right. So through core APIs, you can get the raw image. But some people don't want to do all the vision processing. You may not all be computer vision experts, and you don't have to. We also provide to you simpler touch events. So for instance, we can say, oh, you know what? We recognize that someone placed a finger at position X, Y with a given orientation. Or someone just moved tag with value 250, and they just moved it from this position to this position. Very simple events that your application can react to. Since the core APIs are not tied to a particular framework, most people use them for XNA development. All right, so let's talk about our WPF APIs. And there are three groups of components in our WPF APIs. The first one has to do with pieces of the framework that are specific to multi-touch. I'll give you some examples in the next slide. And the second two have to do with controls, either common controls like the ones you are familiar with, things like buttons and sliders and toggle buttons. And the other ones have to do with specialized controls, controls that we said, you know, our experience is unique enough that people need a special set of controls to create great multi-user or multi-touch applications. So parts of the framework functionality, and I'll just give you some examples. There is a lot more than this. Is drag and drop APIs. If you're familiar with drag and drop APIs, the ones that come with Windows, you will notice that they were really designed for a mouse. You cannot have multiple drags going on at the same time. You have to use a single pointer to move things. But when you drag things in the real world, you drag them with several fingers sometimes. You can have several drags going on at the same time. So we had to provide special APIs. The same with touch visualizations. We wanted to provide very subtle feedback about what was going on the surface. And you may not notice it, but it's subtle enough that you feel it. And that's the whole point of it. We were also talking a little bit about hardware capabilities and how your application can react to the type of hardware that it's running in. So let me give you an example. When you run an application on a horizontal display, the experience should be very different than if it's running on a vertical display. We have done some studies on what we call territoriality. And when you're in a horizontal display, you feel like this area surrounding you is yours. You know, like if you put pictures or whatever you put there, that's kind of your content. But in the vertical world, it's a different business. You know, the territory is this vertical columns. So you have to write your application so that it adapts to the type of hardware and to the state of that hardware. So this is just an example of how you will do something like that. You just check, oh, is it horizontal, yes or not? And then if it's horizontal, I'll lay out my UI a certain way. If it's vertical, I'll lay it out in a different manner. So I talked about common controls, and I am pretty sure that at least someone here is thinking, why in the world did they have to create kind of their own version of common controls, like in Canvas or slider or button? So we created this surface button, surface in Canvas, surface slider. And the reason is very simple. If you take the normal controls and try to use them with touch, they don't work very well. They were, once again, designed for mouse. Let's take the simplest of all the scenarios, a button, right? So when they programmed the button with mouse, they said it will click on the mouse up event, on the left mouse button up event, that's when it will click. Then if you were to just take touch and say, oh, it's just like mouse, then if you were to touch with two fingers that button and lift both fingers, you'll get click, click, two clicks. That's not what we want, right? So we had to step back and say, okay, so how should it behave? And then we went and looked at the physical world and saw when a real button actually clicks, you know? Oh, when the pressure is released, it kind of clicks back up. And we had to do that for every control. How should a slider work if you touch it with two fingers and drag it in opposite directions? That's the kind of questions that we had to ask ourselves. All right. So then we also, in this version, changed the style of our controls to be more consistent with the style being used by other Microsoft technologies, such as Windows Phone or the Zoom applications. It's this very elegant style, very, very clean, where content is king. I placed a black and white picture here in purpose to show that even though it's black and white, it catches your attention because the controls are not so flashy and saying, look at me, look at me. And that's the point of this visual style. We also created specialized controls, controls like ScatterView, which was the basis for that Bing application that I showed you just a second ago. A scatter view is an items control, and that means that you put children on that control, and it knows how to lay them out. In this case, it scatters them, and it allows you to manipulate them. We created other controls like element menu, and I have an interesting story about element menu that relates to people. In version 1, SP1, we had a version of element menu, and the way you will use it is you will drag your finger to the node that you wanted, and that's how you selected the action that you wanted to perform. And we noticed that it worked really well for some people, but not for others. And we said, okay, why is it that some people know how to use it and some people don't? Then, you know, we did user studies like we're supposed to when we think of natural user interfaces, and we realized that some people went and expected it to work with tabs. And it totally made sense. You know, there are millions of people that have been tapping on their mouse for years. So they know how to do that. But then there is the younger generation where they use their phone and they're just flicking all over the place, right? So you have like these two populations. So we said, let's make it work with both. And that was not an easy task, you know, trying to make it work with two types of gestures, but that was the right thing to do. So that's what we did with element menu. We also have this library family of controls, and the way I think of the library family of controls, these are controls that bring order to the chaos produced by ScatterView. So you can organize your content, yet have it inside a ScatterView so that it's free. And last but not least, we have our tag visualizer control. And what the tag visualizer control is, it is a control that if you place a tagged object like the ones I showed you just a second ago, something that has a pattern of dots, when you put it down, it will know, oh, okay, so this is tag such and such, and for this tag, I should show a certain UI. Maybe if I have a tag on the bottom of my bottle of water, it will know, oh, if I put my bottle of water down, it should show bubbles coming out of the bottle. Maybe if I put a chip like this, it should say, oh, you know, maybe there are some operations that they can perform with this object. And there will be a lot of demos on how to do things like this. Well, I'll do one, but also in the next presentation, some of our MVPs will be doing some demonstrations of them using the Surface SDK. In the picture there, when you place this box down, it shows this illumination, this UI right below it, and it makes it look very pretty. And the cool thing is that as you move the object, the UI will track that object. It will move with the object. Before I do a demo, I want to tell you about one tool that we created for you. We wanted to give you better development and administration tools this time around. And the one tool I am going to talk about is the new Microsoft Surface Input Simulator. I see a lot of people smiling. And the reason this is important is because you can create Microsoft Surface applications on any Windows 7 PC. So that means that you can simulate putting several touches on the machine. And we're going to write a small application on my laptop right now. And we're going to simulate several touches so that we can resize an item, for instance. You can also simulate different hardware capabilities. So you can see what your application will do, you know, with different types of hardware. If it supports tags, what have I coded my application to do? If it doesn't, what have I coded my application to do? Okay? Very exciting stuff. I love the Microsoft Surface Input Simulator. So with that, let's do a little demonstration. And I'm going to shift to my laptop right here. Give me a second. Okay. All right. So we're going to create like the hello world of Microsoft Surface. We're going to create just like a basic scatter view, put some pictures there, maybe some controls. And let's do it. It should be pretty easy. So first of all, we have some templates that you can use. So I am just going to create a new application using one of those templates. And then I am going to go to my main XAML, my main Windows XAML. And there I am going to create a scatter view control. And because it's an items control, I can just put items inside it. And it should know how to lay them out. All right, so let's do this. And in order for my computer to be a little faster, I'm going to close the designer. So I am going to create a scatter view control. And I, before I came, I took some pictures. And I called them ABC. .jpg. Okay, so let me just copy and paste this and change the name. So we are going to see some pictures, and in order to save us some time and me typing some XAML, I am going to copy and paste a piece of code. And this is just something a little more interesting, a small control that allows you to draw on top of it. Okay? So this is, hopefully I didn't make any mistakes when I coded that. And so there it is, right? So I have this kind of custom control and some pictures. And now I want to resize them. But I cannot do that with one mouse. So that's okay. I am going to launch my Surface Input Simulator. And then I am going to pick the finger tool. And I am going to, you see that it reacts to my touches. And that actually, the application is reporting that as a touch. And if, while I have my left button down, I right-click on the mouse, it will stamp that button, that touch. And then that allows me to have two touches at the same time. All right, so that's just a picture of some of the controls back there. And pretty exciting stuff. Let me resize this, and then I'm going to pick up this contact. And I am going to show you how I can select several contacts at the same time with this selection tool and move them all at once. All right? Ta-da! All right. Are you excited? Excellent. I'm glad you like it. All right. So that was the first demo. The second one is about creating a tag visualizer control. So let me close the solution. And while my computer responds, let me explain to you what we're going to do in our next application. So we are going to tell it that whenever I place a tagged object with a specific tag, let's say F0, it should display kind of like some information about the person placing that tag on it. And usually you will go to some database and find out based on the value whose tagged object that is. But for now, for simplicity, I will just hard code it. So let's close the solution. And there are three steps to do that. First, let's see, my laptop is a little slow. So first, we are going to create a tag visualizer control. Then we're going to create what we call a tag visualization definition. And this tag visualization definition talks about what UI to show for a specific tag. And we also have to create the actual visualization itself. So it's a three-step process. So I'm going to create a new project. Once again, a Surface application. In order to save some time, I'm going to let it use the Surface application for name. Go down. So I said we're going to create a tag visualizer control. Tag visualizer. I am going to create a tag visualization definition and assign it to the tag visualizer. And here I have to do something interesting. I have to tell it the value of the tag that I am waiting for. And I said F0 just a second ago, so why not F0? And then I have to tell it what UI to show. So in order to do that, I have to set the source, but I haven't created that UI yet. So let's create it. It's very easy. I just add a new item. And then I can pick some of the surface item templates here, surface B2, tag visualization, that's what I want. And in order to save some time again, I am just going to copy and paste some snippet of code that I wrote before we came. And there is a picture of my friend Jason, who is in the back. He's our product marketing lead. He'll be able to answer some of the questions later on. So whenever JSON places the tagged object with tag F0, I want it to show that visualization, which is called tag visualization 1.saml. Okay? And I don't know if you have noticed, but I have been creating these applications without using the actual Microsoft Surface hardware. Okay, so let's create a tag with value F0, and I can do that by selecting this tag tool and then setting some value there. And when I put it down, it shows the visualization. Okay? Now, let's take a look at what that would look like if I were to spend a little bit more time and create some nice UI around it. And let's say that... let me see. Let's say that two friends, John and Susan, just came out of a presentation such as this one, and they really liked the topic because Surface is so cool. And then they said, "Well, let's meet over." Oh, what happened? Sorry, I think I did something wrong. Okay, so then, oh, that's what I meant by prototype hardware. We'll try it one more time. If not, we'll skip this demo. All right. All right, we're going to have to skip this demo. I don't know what happened. So let's move on. All right, applause, please. All right. So thank you. I need that. Okay, so. All right, so let me see. So we are in one and presentation. Three. Okay, there we go. We invested a lot in administration tools. In the past, the only way that you could kind of configure what applications were in the launcher or the background was by knowing a whole bunch of registry keys and knowing how to edit a whole bunch of XML files. That's no longer the case. Now we have four tools that make it very easy for you to administer an application. The first one is the support that we will have for PowerShell. If you are an admin, you know what PowerShell is. It's a scripting tool that allows you to administer to several machines at the same time. We also have support for this really cool technology called Dash. And Dash is very interesting because the only thing that you need to administer a machine on the other side of the world with Dash is for the power to be on that machine and for the network cable to be connected. That's it. No matter what the state of that machine is, you can take control over that machine. Very interesting stuff. So the other one is a client application called the Microsoft Surface Configuration Tool. And that's a very nice UI so that you can pick which applications you want in the launcher, what kind of color theme or palette you want in the whole experience. It allows you to do things such as pick the background of the Surface experience. And last but not least, something very, very cool, especially if you just want to do something small, like change the volume on the device. It's what we call the on-screen display. All you do is touch the power button, and it will show this display. It's on the bottom right corner. And it looks similar to what you will see on your TV, except that you can touch it. So you can change the volume like that. No need to go back into Windows mode just to do that. If you want to port an application, a B1 application, we will have a tool, what we call the Surface Migration Power Toy, in order to do that. And it automates most of the work in porting your application. A lot of the classes change so that we could be consistent with WPF4, so it does a lot of renaming for you. And then you do the parts that cannot be automated. We have some guidance on how to do that. And then there you go. You have your new Surface 2 application. All right. Some people asked me before I started, when do I get the SDK? And I am happy to announce that this summer of 2011, the Microsoft Surface 2 SDK will be available to you. It will be free, and it will be on MSDN. And if you are itching to get started today, you can use the Microsoft Surface Toolkit for Windows Touch. That's a step in the right direction because it's already consistent with WPF4. Okay? Some other people were asking me about the business model. Okay, so how do I buy a Surface? When do I buy it? How much will it cost? And it will cost almost half of what it costs today, well, of what B1 costed for developers. The latest figure I have is $7,900 for the unit. And there will be a single SKU. There won't be like a developer SKU and a commercial SKU. It's a single SKU. And if you want to develop for it, you just install the SDK on top of it. Very simple. Because we're working with Samsung now, we, Microsoft, are not in the business of doing the whole thing. We designed the hardware together with Samsung, but they will be the ones manufacturing the product, they will be the ones selling it, and they will also be the ones supporting the actual hardware. We are still accountable for the software side of things, and we will support you in your software endeavors. What that means to you is that now we have this huge partner, right? Samsung knows how to sell electronics. Samsung is everywhere. And they have a few distributors. They have a few distributors in each country. And that means that if there is enough demand, they can sell to that country. Now, notice that there is a reseller between the distributor and the customer. And Microsoft Surface partners can become resellers. That means that you can provide end-to-end solutions where you are selling not only the software that you're providing, but you can also sell that hardware. And the details about this whole thing are still being nailed down, but they're really good news. We are going to be available in 23 countries. Last time I presented a slide like this, we were going to be available in 13 countries, and I was able to memorize them. Not anymore. If you don't see your country here, I wouldn't worry too much. As I said, Samsung knows how to sell to the world. If there is enough demand, they will sell to your country. Let's not forget why we're here. I took some pictures, and these are people using the B1 product. And the reason I took pictures of B1 of the B1 product being used is because I wanted pictures of real people using the product. You will see that they are smiling. You will see that they are collaborating. They are together. Some of them are very intense in the task that they are performing. And that's why we're here. We're here to bring people together by making surfaces come to life through natural experiences. Thank you very much, and we'll go to Q&A. All right. Okay, so either we're late, or how much time do we have for questions? Does anyone know? Okay, let's do 5 minutes while our MVP panel sets up. So we have this next presentation. It's about Microsoft Surface, again, with more demonstrations. And they will also do some demonstrations of about how to use a depth camera such as Kinect as well. Yes, go ahead.
Is this on?
Yeah. Yes.
I'm Victor Larsson. I'm from Avnod, Sweden. I have a few questions. You mentioned using Surface 2 as a vertical screen. Why would I use Surface instead of a Windows 7 touch panel in a vertical mode?
That's a very good question. And we invested mainly on horizontal because that's where like objects shine, right? You can put an object down and it stays there. But we heard a lot from customers. You know, I want to be able to have the flexibility to put it vertically as well. Remember that the vision capabilities allow massive multi-touch. You can have more than 50 touches at the same time on this hardware. If my laptop actually has an IR bezel, and it does 2 touches, and so, mm-hmm. right? So the technology allows you to really shine also in the vertical environment.
One of the key, not features, but mindsets about Surface 1 was the 360 degrees interface. How do you feel that would evolve with a vertical version of Surface?
Yeah, so as I said in the hardware capabilities demo, you're not going to use 360 degree UI on vertical, right? People are not going to be looking at it upside down. So, but you have the flexibility to adapt. There are places where a horizontal unit doesn't fit. You know, maybe a hospital or something like that, but you still want to be able to triage data or something like that. So it depends on your environment. Don't create a 360 degree UI on horizontal. That doesn't make sense. You have to think of what makes sense, but now we have a flexible form factor that allows you to do that.
Also, you mentioned HDMI in an... Sorry,
are there any other questions? Okay, go ahead.
You mentioned HDMI in and out ports. Could you give a few scenarios where that would be useful?
Sure. Why not? So imagine that the Surface is in a conference room, and we are triaging data. But as we look at something, we want to display additional information somewhere else. So I can just flick my information, and there it appears in the big screen using HDMI.
Very
nice. Does that help? Okay.
Last question.
Any other questions? Just want to make sure. Okay. He's good.
Last question. I'm doing a touch development for Windows 7 back in Sweden. Can I get my hands on the development tools, like, now?
All right. So he wants preferential treatment. So that's good. That's pretty slick. So summer 2011, you can get started with the toolkit today.
And yeah, the toolkit for WPF?
Correct.
Great. Thanks.
Perfect. Thank you. All right. So let's give a chance for our MVPs to get set up. Thank you for coming. And I'll be around so that I can answer your questions. Thank you.